Hey, what's up, everybody? Justin Ochoa back with another episode of the Gym Sessions podcast. And today we have on another special guest, Stephanie Mavunga. She's a professional basketball player with experience in the WNBA, Women's EuroLeague, and she played college at two iconic schools, North Carolina and Ohio State University, the Ohio State University. Steph joins me to talk about her basketball journey coming up through high school, college, and into the pro level. We talk about her off-the-court activities, which is her cooking business. Steph is a chef, a.k.a. Chef Steph. So we talk a little bit about that and how that whole thing came about. And then just a good conversation about, you know, the life of a basketball player, the grind, the hustle, all the work that goes into it. So truly great to catch up with her and just kind of figure out, you know, where she's at coming off of an injury and what she's expecting to do in this upcoming EuroLeague season. So make sure you tap in. Again, this is a great episode with Stephanie Mavunga. Appreciate y'all for listening. Steph, what's up? Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's crazy because I just saw you in person like a week ago, and now you're all the way across the globe.
It's crazy how planes work. I was just thinking about that, like, dang, I was literally just in the gym, and now I'm, like, across the world.
It's so crazy. So I think you're our third international guest on here. So so far, so good. We had Jordan in Serbia. We had actually, you're our second. You'll be the second one. So we had Jordan in Serbia and then you in Poland. So we'll see what the Wi-Fi is like out there.
Fingers crossed. I'm definitely on the hot spot. I had low-key tried out my Wi-Fi right before this, and I'm like, it's kind of a little sketchy, but I have a Polish phone too, so I just connected it to the hotspot, so I hope it rocks.
Nice. Now we'll get there. I like it. I appreciate you doing this, and let's dive in. For those that may not know you or be familiar with you, give you like your little elevator pitch, like who are you? What do you do?
Okay, my name is Stephanie Mavunga. I'm 28. I'm from Zimbabwe originally. I play professional basketball. This is year six for me. Wow, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
Year six for me. My third year in Poland. I played in Russia for 2 years, and then I played one season in France as well. I went to the University of North Carolina for 2 years and graduated from the Ohio State University twice. I got my bachelor's. Sociology. You heard it. I got my bachelor's in sociology and I got my master's in sport management and kinesiology. And so that's my little elevator pitch. I guess like the get to know me, I guess the Google form. So
Yeah, I like that. So the Wikipedia page, which you do have, right. which is awesome. It's always cool to have a Wikipedia page.
Not facts. Sometimes I'm reading it like, let me see how accurate this information is.
You mentioned born in Zimbabwe and you made history by being the first Zimbabwean player to be drafted to the WNBA. So kind of talk a little bit about your upbringing. Like, when did you move to America? Kind of how did you end up in Brownsburg, Indiana? That's a big one. What led to that? Kind of what's your background and your upbringing like?
Okay, so I come from a 100% Zimbabwean household. My mom's 100% Zimbabwean and so is my father. Culture-wise, like, it's really kind of strict a little bit. It's different, you know, than in the States and everything. But obviously, you know, we had to do some adjustments. And so it's not like every single thing that is in our natural Zimbabwean culture. We kind of adapt to here, you know. My parents were kind of lenient in some rights in the sense of, you know, like, okay, being able to adapt to American culture and kind of bringing the two together. So I kind of had like a Zim American upbringing, but there was definitely pieces of my culture that I will hold near and dear and true to my heart forever. I moved when I was 3 years old. I moved to the USA. My dad came over a year earlier to just kind of set up shop and figure out exactly what it is that we were going to do. And then my mother and me and my two brothers followed right after. And so then we stayed in Indianapolis, I think, for up until I was in third grade. And then third grade was my first year in Brownsburg. We moved to Brownsburg, and then they've had that house ever since. They still live in Brownsburg. And so they just kind of wanted, like, you know, a better opportunity for us. And never really thought about sports. That wasn't like their idea or anything. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of crazy that we all went pro, but they just kind of wanted a better opportunity, more resources, and just different things from what we had back home. And so they definitely provided that, and I'm forever indebted, and I'm thankful for sure.
And yeah, so that's so nice. That's awesome. Like you mentioned, your two brothers, Julian and Dash, both went pro. Yourself, pro. It's like you move over at such a young age. It's not like, you know, now there are strategic moves like, hey, we're gonna bring this kid over. They got a bright future in the sport. It was just a life thing. And so more of opportunity thing. And so that's actually cool. And I think it obviously worked out for you guys. And you had a great career at Brownsburg. Like, let's talk about the resume a little bit. I'll let you brag a little bit about your accolades.
That's a good question. I really want to. Sometimes when I'm hearing them and I'm going to talk at some place, I'm like, when did I do that? So all I remember is for sure I scored 1,000 points. Well, over 1,000, but I definitely hit my 1,000th point at Brownsburg High School. My jersey is, well, not my jersey, because they have not retired any jerseys. Brownsburg doesn't do that. But there's a cutout of, like, my Indiana Gatorade Player of the Year at the time and my Miss Basketball cutout inside of the gym. And so that's really cool to see because it's in, like, the gym, like, right up the top. And that was the first time I saw it, I think, 2 years ago. And that was really nice to see. What else did I do? I don't think I hit 1,000 rebounds, maybe 900 and something or 800 and something. We went to our first sectional in many, many years, my senior year. We always had the same sectional as Ben Davis, so it was really, really tough my first 3 years, not to lie. And then we ended up beating Ben Davis my senior year to advance and win sectionals, and that was a huge deal. Four-time county champ. We won 4 years in a row for that. Clean sweep. We won the, what is that called? Hall of Fame Classic. We won that. And we did some good things. We had a pretty solid record my senior year. Sent a couple players to play college ball. And, yeah. So I can't complain. I love college. I mean, it got me, obviously, to – I mean, I loved high school. It got me, obviously, to great college, two of them, actually. So
yeah, for sure. I was gonna ask that later, but you segued me right into it. So you come out of high school, you're a McDonald's All-American, you go to North Carolina first, which is, like, for any hooper, that's a dream school. You know, it doesn't matter, men's, women's, does not matter. Like, that baby blue is just hits different. So talk about your recruiting process, kind of how you ended up there, and then we can transition into Ohio State, you know, kind of what went down in North Carolina and how you ended up at Ohio State.
So North Carolina recruiting process was really unique. I never knew I wanted to go to Carolina growing up. Like, it wasn't like my dream school or anything. I never had a dream school. And so my recruitment process was fun, and then trying to really figure out what do I want to do academically, which institution fits me the best. And so North Carolina came about really funny. So I had taken interest randomly because that year, I think it was going into my senior year. So it was like junior year or like junior summer. And I had ended up talking to Diamond DeShields somehow. I remember, like, not a lot of people know, but I was about to commit to Notre Dame. And I don't think I ever really told a lot of people this story, but like I was going to commit to Notre Dame and they had only a certain number of scholarship offers for that year. I mean, I guess a certain number of spots for our class. And so I was not stalling, like purposely. I just kind of didn't know what I wanted to do. And then, you know, other players were committing and going there. And decide, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go to Notre Dame. And so then I remember Taya committed last. And Taya, that was the last recruit that they took out of our class. And so I was like, dang, like I wanted to go to Notre Dame. And so then after that, it was like, okay, like now I need to figure out what's next. So at this time, I'm like, wow, like, okay, Notre Dame was kind of up there, but I was kind of iffy. I wasn't like 100% sold on Notre Dame, but I felt like it was kind of up there. And so I'm like, okay, I need to figure out like what's going on. So like a couple of days later, I was kind of devastated, like, wow, like I really kind of was putting my money on Notre Dame, you know, kind of putting my head there, getting like prepared to do that. Then all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, so I need to figure out something different. I don't know how me and Diamond started messaging. I think we were texting or we were on like social media of some sort. We just started messaging, blah, 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 blah. And we just started formulating a plan. And we're like, man, we could really like have a crazy recruiting class for real. And we just started putting a bunch of pieces together. Next thing you know, we were like, come on, it could be really me, you, Jessica Washington, Alicia Gray, blah, blah, blah. And then we started really coming up with it. We're like, hold up, you know what? We need to get a group chat going. We need to talk to the other girls, see what's up. Next thing you know, that kind of snowballed. And then we knew everyone else, like, in this little four was getting, like, you know, interest from North Carolina. So it was like, all right, bet. So we just kind of put it together like that. We all started talking, and then we decided, like, are we going to do this? And yeah. So we all did it same day committed, and then we all became the number one class. And so that's how North Carolina happened.
That's awesome. And, I mean, it worked out. I think everybody that you mentioned is still playing the WNBA. And it's like, it's a weird thing because I feel like in the men's side, there are more sleepers, if you will. Like there could be a guy that makes his way up from like a D3 school and finds his way on NBA roster. There are not many, but like it happens semi-regularly. On the women's side, I feel like you've got that upper tier where it's like they're going pro for sure. Like that group right there, they're going pro. So what's it like in college kind of at a high level university like that? Like, is that your expectation or are you just like, hey, we want to make a tournament. We want to win our conference. Like, or is it a little bit of both?
For a lot of players, it's a little bit of both. It depends. Some players kind of decide early, like, okay, I want to go to the league. Like, that's why I'm here. I'm going to go to the league. I'm going to try to figure out everything. Some players are like, you know, I want to have the most illustrious college career. That way, like, you know, after college, I move on and I go do my thing. So I can say at least, you know, I had a good collegiate career. For me, I was the second. And that's crazy because until I went to Ohio State, I didn't want to go to the league or I didn't want to go pro. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do next. And then somehow when I got to Ohio State, I was just like, I want to go pro. And so it was crazy being at a huge school like North Carolina and being at a basketball school. But for me, it was still like my mentality was so competitive. I wanted to win. I wanted to do everything to be as good as I can or be the one of the best and try to do that on a collegiate level, even though I never wanted to go pro after that. So for me, it was like, I want to win everything. I want to go to the Final Four. I want to win a national championship and blah, 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 blah. Even though after, in my head at the time, I was like, I'm not going to play after this. So I wanted to do as much as I could and be as competitive as I could on the collegiate level and then be like, all right, well, cool. At least I did all I could.
Got you. No, I love that. I love that. So then you transfer to Ohio State and then you kind of flip the switch. Like, I think did it become more of a reality? Like, oh, I could really do this at the next level?
It was a little mixture of both. I'm not going to lie. For me, it was like, yeah, it became like a little bit more realistic. But at the same time, I wasn't for sure. I was like, okay, worst comes to worst, I can play overseas. I wasn't sure about the league, to be honest. But for me, I also was just like, I loved basketball even more. Like the hunger and it just got more. And then you're hearing other players talk about, I want to go to the league. I want to do this. I want to do that. And then I just remember one day just being like, man, I looked at the ball and I'm like, I really want to do this. Like, I really want to do this. I don't want to, I can't think of something else that I wanted to do as bad as I wanted to hoop. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm going. I'm going to figure it out. I don't know how. I'm just going to go. Because it's also like, dang, I got a whole year off. How's that going to work? Then I'm going to come in. I'm going to be older. I'm going to be a class behind all my other people that I came out of high school with. So I'm like, you know what? I want to go to the league. And once I clicked, once that clicked in my head, it was just like a different ball game. Never looked back. I was like, I want to go to the league.
Yeah. You brought up an interesting point too. This wasn't even on my radar, but you transferred before like this portal stuff and you had to sit out that year, the transfer year. Like, what was that year like for you? What were you doing during that time?
Okay. So that's a good question. For me, it was just like, I knew what I wanted to do the following year. Mm-hmm. So it was always like, you know, hindsight. Like I was like, I wasn't thinking about like, okay, like I'm thinking about right now. At the time I was thinking about the future and then thinking about like, okay, like then at that point it's going to be like hindsight, you know? And it mm-hmm. was more like, I wanted to try to do everything that I could then, that way it translates and works out the following year. I couldn't think about, oh yeah, I'm not playing right now, so it doesn't matter. And at the same time, it's like you want your teammates and your team to also be good so that the following year you blend and you come in together easier. And for me too, I had another girl that transferred at the same time as me, Lene Harper, who also ended up getting drafted. Well, no, she didn't get drafted, but who also ended up going and playing for the Chicago Sky our rookie year. And this is one of my best friends and still is to this day. And we also had the same kind of mentality, like super competitive. We wanted the same things on the court, even off the court, academically too. Like we just wanted to be high achievers. And so we're like, okay, you know, we can't play right now, but we can get everybody else ready. And then by getting everybody else ready, it's going to help us too, because we're all still a team the following year. And most of the players mm-hmm. were coming back. I think we only lost one girl the year we came in, like we only lost one girl. And then the following year, it was all of us. And so it was like, okay, we're going to be on scout team and we're going to try to do everything to kill. And so it was like that. And then on top of that, it was super competitive. Everybody wanted to kill. Everybody wanted to, you know, get like earn a spot. We had a lot of players with a lot of talent. So it was like, you also needed to get out there and like really earn yours. It's not like you just walk in like, oh, I'm such and such, I did this in high school, what's up? No, right. Everybody's gonna come there and everybody has the same mentality that you have. So we were always coming in there trying to push each other. And so for me, I was just like, dang, like I'm gonna go in there and I need to think about the next season and think about the season after that. Like, what do I wanna do? What's my end goal? And so I can't just think about the now. And so that was kind of it for me. And then trying to just adjust from going from a different school. It was different, you know, both on and off the court.
Yeah. Something that I was thinking about, I mean, you went to two iconic schools, not even like sports or not, like these are like iconic brands, worldwide known logos. But you were not in the NIL era that we're in today. Are you a little bit salty that you missed out on that? I feel like you would have been getting a bag at both of them schools.
Man, I think about that all the time. I'm like, dang, I wonder what kind of deals I would have had. I wonder who I could have been like, hey, can I get this? My first, everyone always laughs because when NIL came out, everyone was always like, man, you would have had the first lip gloss deal 100%.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. I would have been trying to do everything with chefs, cooking. I would have been trying to get all the utensils.
100%. No, I was thinking about that. I was literally like driving in this morning, like, you know, just thinking about different things that we want to talk about. I'm like, man, Steph would have crushed it in like the cosmetics world for NIL deals. Like, no doubt. That's it's crazy. Like, I feel like it's like a different era now. Obviously, there's so much that goes into the NIL stuff. But it's almost like there needs to be some kind of like settlement or something for athletes that were before that. It's just a lot of missed opportunities.
Yeah, like, can I get a little bit of that back? Like, I mean, it's never going to be the same. Like, your name is never going to be the same like it was in college. Like, especially at like huge institutions. Once you went to like the biggest D1 schools, it's like hard to try to get that same, you know, fame or same, you know, I don't know, even attention or something like that back.
Yeah. Even like at a local level, like when you're in college, like everything is like you're just like in this like box, you know what I mean? It's like everybody's in their own little world, and campuses like that are revolving around those schools, those sports. I think of like Texas is another one. They don't have pro sports in Austin. So like the Longhorns are like the thing. Same thing. Like, I just feel like those athletes that goes into recruiting now versus you're looking at, you know, where's the best fit for me in the classroom? Where's the best fit for me on this court? Now there's a third prong to that. It's like, where's the best fit for me financially?
Facts. And they're not wrong. They are not wrong.
Yeah, absolutely not. I don't get me wrong. I love it. I like it. There's some ugly parts to it. Like, I think there's some loopholes and some ugly parts and some things that need to be cleaned up. But for the most part, I'm all for it. And I love it. I love to see these athletes, even high school athletes, taking advantage of it, because it's like, you know, at a certain point, I can't remember, there's a quote. It's like, the roar of the crowd is not for you. It's for what you can do. So it's like, there's a certain point where you're not going to be doing what you can do anymore. And it's like, people realize too late. It's like, you have this small moment in time to really take advantage of your talent and your youth. And I'm all for these athletes capitalizing on that to set up them and their families for the future.
I agree. I like it. And I was surprised, you know, they really came out with it. It's just like nice to see like things just progressing and how, like, you know, just to see like how things change, you know, even since before. And then like, even for people that were before us, like seeing us and be like, I'm proud of you, or I'm happy, and I'm happy that y'all get this. And it's like, dang, like, I really do be happy that they be putting these kids on, like, you know, on a different market, and just the way that they can just capitalize on their name, their likeness, their image, and all of that stuff is just nice to see for real.
Yeah, it's super cool. And it's all about progression. Like you said, like the players who played in the early 2000s, you know, maybe they weren't getting as many shoes or the gear, or the living situation wasn't as good. And then the next wave comes in. Now you're getting more gear. You're getting team gear, home and away shoes. And then it keeps progressing. And now it's more financial, which I think is awesome. But I wanted to talk about your post-college career. You go and get drafted, I think, early in the second round by the Fever. And that's a hometown team, which is one component. But then earlier in that draft, they draft your college teammate. And so, talk about that process. Like, you're getting two really cool things happening in one night. Where were you at mentally there, and what went into that whole process?
That night was special. I never was like one of those players that had like the draft party or a bunch of people around me. It was honestly me, my mom, my little brother, and my dad. And we were at the house in Brownsbury. And I just remember we got all my favorite stuff. Cheesecake is my favorite dessert. Then we had like, I want to say like pizza, all like my favorite, my little favorite food and stuff like that. And then I just remember just watching the draft. I didn't know where I was going to get picked, when I was going to get picked, if I was going to get picked at all. And I was just thinking to myself, like, you know, I'm going to just be happy for the opportunity. So I don't care where I go, and I'm just watching, you know. It's like, I got picked 14, so it's like you hear 13 names, and it's like, okay, you know, like there's still a lot of names left, you know, to be said, and still a lot of opportunity. And it's just like, where am I going to go? Every time like a team would come up, it's like, okay, is this the one? Is this the one? Yeah. You kind of get, you know, sitting up in the seat and stuff. And I was so shocked. Like, I was so shocked. Like, nobody called me. So that's what made it more special for me, because I got to see it live on TV. So I was watching it live, and then my name came across, and I was so like just dumbfounded. Like, my mouth dropped open, and I just remember, like, I was so overwhelmed. I didn't know whether to laugh, cry, dance, like, what it was. And my mom was going crazy, yelling all over the place, doing our little African dances and blah, 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 blah. And my dad was just like, you know, hey, man, my brother, my little brother is taking out the phone, you know, Snapchat.
Oh, Instagram, yeah, hell blah. Yeah.
And I was just dancing. And I remember, like, I'm from Indiana, so I had Fever shirts already. So I went upstairs, put me one of those shirts on, and I was just like, wow, like, just that moment, just thinking and, like, seeing, like, videos from that night is just, I can't even describe it. Like, honestly, like, you can't even put it into words. Like, that moment was one of the most special moments in my career. And I'm forever grateful to all my coaches at the time. Still love them to this day. But yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy. Draft night was crazy. And I love the way they did it because they were like, yeah, we didn't want to call you. We didn't want to tell you, blah, blah, blah. And just seeing that like that was just, it was special. It was
That's special. Awesome. That's a great story. I love that. When you first got to WNBA, obviously it's kind of like this is how it is for all athletes that go pro. It's like you're on a high, right? You're like, you just described what you just felt is like the best day ever. And then it's like, oh shit, but I got to get to work. Like Fact. This ain't sweet. Like now I'm leveling up to the 1% of the 1%. What was your initial like adjustments, like good or bad, when you got to training camp? Like, what were you thinking? What were you going through?
So for me, the hardest part was just like the mental part. I was so in my head. I was so nervous to make a mistake. Like I didn't want to mess up. I didn't want to do something wrong. So I was just like kind of like on my toes all the time, or like overthinking everything. Like I would drive myself crazy and I would overthink like even the little things, like, all right, Steph, like you've been playing basketball for this amount of years and you're here for a reason. But in my head, I didn't think like that. I was just like, okay, don't mess up. And you find yourself like making mistakes simply because you're overthinking. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of me. And sometimes it was just like overwhelming because you wanted to do well so bad that you ended up messing up. So for me, like when I first got there, I just had to realize like just be you. Do what got you here. I was known for rebounding the ball, for blocking shots a little bit. And I could score, but like, you know, everybody can score. Everybody in the draft can score. So it's like, you know, you need to set yourself apart. I'm known too because I communicate a lot. I talk a lot on the court. I'm always, you know, chirping. I'm always talking. And so that's kind of really what got my foot in the door. I was always talking. I have lots of energy. I'm always, you know, bouncing around, blah, 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 telling my teammates, like, you know, I got last, you know, slap, whatever you want to call it. I'm saying it. As soon as the play is said, I'm echoing. And so it was just like those things, like no one can teach those things. Like those things aren't taught. Mm-hmm. Like that's, you just do them. No one has to teach you to talk. That's something that you can just do that's effortless. And so for me, it was like, okay, doing those things and then just getting out of my head. Like, just play. Obviously, you can get intimidated because it's like, dang, I watch these players, I mean, on the TV. Right. Now I'm here. Now y'all here in person. Like, for real. And so it's like, just play, you know? But I had a lot of good vets and people that really helped me out, and people were patient and nice and kind or whatever to me. And my coaches, they were great, you know, just kind of patient with me and stuff like that. But after a while, I just kind of like loosened up a little bit more, but I feel like I was still tense like the whole time I was in the league. And so I've always told myself, like, if I ever go back, I don't want to be tense. I just want to be me and just have the faith and confidence in myself and my game. Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, just taking a quick break from the show to give a special shout out to my partners over at Hoist. Thank you guys so much for supporting the Gym Sessions podcast. If you guys are not familiar with Hoist, you got to check out drinkhoist.com. That's their website. You can get on there. You can learn all about the formula, how it's formulated specifically to give you instant and optimal hydration. This is my favorite hydration beverage on the market, and honestly, something that I use every single day. My athletes never see me without a bottle of one of these. So just an outlook on kind of what you can expect. We got 430 milligrams of sodium, 130 milligrams of calcium, 260 milligrams of potassium, 20 milligrams of magnesium, only 13 grams of sugar. That is an amazing electrolyte profile to help you guys stay on top of your hydration game. So again, drinkhoist.com. You can use our code GEMS, that's G-E-M-S, to get 10% off your order. Just take a look around the website. If you have any questions, feel free to let me know and I can help educate you on my favorite drink. Now back to the show. So were there any moments like welcome to the WNBA moments, like where just some memorable things that happened?
I'll never forget the first time Sylvia Fowles like posted me up, like, you put that elbow in the chest, like, oh, it's different. Oh, we're here. I was like, we're here. Heard you. Like, stuff like that. Like, that was like, wow. Like, that was like my end game welcome to the W moment. And then also, like, I remember playing, like, players like Hanzu, Cambage, BG, and just, like, seeing how big they were. These are the tallest players, and and then Sil was the strongest player I've ever played against. And just, like, seeing people, like, of this caliber, of this height, of this skill level, and things like that, and trying to adjust, and knowing, like, okay, I'm an undersized five. Sometimes I forget, and then you get on the court with some fives that are 6'8", 6'9", and it's like, oh, okay, heard you. So right, I feel like a big dog, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, you're not that big. And then so, you know, just adjusting from college and not playing against players of that height, of that strength, of that skill level at that size, that was different for me. And then I guess my off the court, welcome to the league moment. I didn't really get hazed. I'm not going to sit here and lie like I did. I didn't. Like, my players were really nice. They were cool. They were chill. And there was moments like, okay, it's like, nah, wait a second. Like, maybe if they want to shoot or something. It's like, okay. Like, I wasn't used to, like, somebody saying, wait a second. But, I mean, that was no big deal. That's respect for my vets. So, not too crazy.
Got you. So, as far as on the court, skill-wise, coming out of college, what are some things that you, like, immediately felt you needed to adjust?
So I needed to be able to, one, use both hands. I'm still super right-hand dominant, but I needed to be able to, two, rely on my left as well. I can't just go right. Second, I think that a lot of times in college, I kind of mapped out what I was going to do by the time I got the ball, and then I would go and do that. Now I need to read the defense. I don't know if by the time the ball's in the air and then all of a sudden I catch it, I don't know if the defense is going to be, you know, shifting or what. Third, like I said, you know, I'm undersized. And so it was figuring out, like, you know, how to still be able to score or rebound against a player that's bigger than I am. So it was like, okay, I need to really work on, like, doing my work early. For example, you got to box out and stuff, or you got to ride your player up, or even if I don't get the rebound, I got to make sure my player doesn't get the rebound. So stuff like that, just adjusting to my game. Whereas in college, I was kind of like, oh, I'm just going to jump. I'm not going to box out that much. And so in pros, I'm like, oh, no, this is a whole different ball game. It's like 6'3 is cute and all, but like it's not big at all.
6'9? VG is 6'9", 6'8"?
I think 6'9".
That's just a large human, like, man or female. It's like, that is a large human to deal with on a basketball court. Conversely, let's think about, like, okay, you had to adjust some things. On the other side of that, what are some things where you got to the league and you're like, oh, shit, this is a strong point of my game. Like, this is working. These are some things that I already have.
So I would say, like, for example, one is communication. Mm-hmm. When I first got to the league, I remember, like, being in fever training camp, and I was, like, the loudest person. Me and Erica Wheeler. Erica Wheeler was loud, too. And I guess, like, before I got there, too, she was always the one that was, like, super, 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 super loud. And then when I got there, too, they were like, dang, like, you loud, too. You louder than E-Dub sometimes. Like, and so it was like, dang, like, I've always done that, and people don't complain or say anything to it or say anything's wrong. It's like, oh, that really works. Like, people still notice that. And, you know, like, that's something, like, some players just don't naturally just, you know, blurt out. It was so natural for me to be yelling, even if I didn't know exactly what it was I was talking about, because sometimes you can fix things simply because of the fact that you're communicating. Mm-hmm. And so stuff like that, I liked the fact that I wasn't so shy or nervous to talk, or to ask questions, or to, you know, communicate on the court and stuff like that. That was one. Two, I guess on the court, was rebounding. I would figure out a way to try and rebound, or try to be aggressive. Stuff like that, that was still working in the league. And sometimes I was stronger than I knew. And I didn't know that until, like, you know, a couple teammates or a couple opponents told me, like, dang, you strong, Rook. And I was like, really? Like, dang, for real? Like, I mean, I thought I was pretty solid, but I didn't realize, like, I was strong to, like, a pro. Like, that was crazy for me to hear. Like, I'm like, oh, I didn't know for real. And so stuff like that, and screening, I was trying to always I was always making sure like I really get the defender and then try to roll or whatever. I need to get back to my rookie self. Because I was really making sure I had that defender.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, I mean, obviously, your roles change when you go overseas and stuff like that, and we'll touch on that. But before that, I want to talk about the wobble. So we had Ty Harris on, and we were talking about that was her rookie year. So her first taste of the WNBA was like the bubble season. You, I think, had a couple years under your belt going into that, but just had a wild experience. Like, what was your wobble experience like?
So my wobble experience was, it was a time, let's say that, to say the least, for real. Like, that was the first time I ever had to have surgery. It wasn't invasive or anything, but it was just like, I broke my nose in the wobble. So imagine, I had to go all the way back to Indiana, fly back to Indiana, and get surgery. Then you need to come back, and you need to re-quarantine. So that was, like, so frustrating, because it's like, dang, I just wanted to go get surgery in the most... Well, trying to be as clean as I could and trying to be as safe as I could. And then you come back and it's like, you have to stay in a hotel for a week. And it's like, dang, I've already missed time. And then you get nervous, you antsy and stuff in the hotel. So that was one thing. It was cool in the sense that, like, I'm so used to, like, going to other cities and playing other people. And then now it's like, dang, my friend is across the street.
Yeah.
Or, like, my teammate or my old teammate is, like, around the corner. Or it's like, we can go and eat with our old teammates or our teammates or our friends from college, high school, blah, blah, blah. Like, that was crazy to me. Like, having everybody in one spot.
That was like a big-ass AAU tournament.
Literally. Like, oh, my goodness. Like, or that or, like, an Olympic Village.
Yeah.
Olympic Village for just, like, women's sports. But it was crazy. It was crazy. Like, a different experience. And then, obviously, the good part is, too, like, you didn't have to travel. You didn't have to get on a plane and worry about, like, oh, dang, I just played last night. Now I need to get on, like, right on the plane, and then I need to be at shoot around tomorrow. So, like, that was clutch. But it was also tough, too, because sometimes, like our team was really, like, trying to be, like, really, really safe and clean. And so sometimes, like, we weren't even allowed to hang out with players. Well, like, not hang out, but, like, have players in our houses. So it was like, dang, like, you can finally be right next to your friends, but it's like, y'all can't even come over here because, like, you know, we're trying to be safe. We don't want any positive COVID tests. So it's like, it's tough, but it was cool. And then I was the only bubble trade.
That's you... That is just the craziest, like, stat to me. I don't know why. It's just funny to me. Like, you in a – so you get traded from the Fever to Chicago, which in real life, like, wouldn't be a horrible adjustment. It would be inconvenient, but not a crazy, like, geographical change. You know what I'm saying? Fact, like still in the Midwest. But you get traded in the bubble, and so you're just like, okay, I just got to change rooms? Like, what do you do in that sense?
So it was kind of funny. Like, at the time, it wasn't, because it was like, wow, like, what just happened?
But, yeah.
So, okay, I remember Ketch called me, and she was like, you know, telling me everything. You know, we had our talk, blah, blah, blah. Then I found out I got traded to the Sky. So I'm like, wow. Okay, I had my moment. I cried and stuff. And, you know, I called my older brother. That was the first person I called. And me and Drew were talking. And we were just talking about, like, you know, like, okay, like, you know, this is the next thing. Then I need to, okay, shed my tears, then move on. So it was like, dang. All right, so, like, what do I do? But the funny thing is, I'm still in quarantine. So imagine, I just broke my nose. I just got my nose fixed. I just came back. I'm in quarantine. So now I'm thinking, okay, I'm about to go back to my house. I have a house with the Fever. My roommates are Lauren Cox and Kathleen Doyle. So I'm like, okay, I'm about to go see them in a little bit, a couple days. I got a couple days left. Now I'm finding out, no. Now you're going to go into the hotel, and you're going to have a room by yourself, and you're going to play for the Sky. So it's like, what? You're going to be right across the street. So I'm like, okay. And I'm not going to lie to you, I'd never moved out that house. So sometimes I would be going to the house, going to get some stuff. I'd be in a hotel, and I'm like, okay, I still have groceries over there. I still have food. So I'm like, what can I do? I can't cook at the hotel. So it was just like it was like the craziest experience for me. And then it's like, they've already played a half a season together. And it's like, all right, hey, I know I played y'all already, but not. My name is Stephanie. Nice to meet y'all.
Yeah, you could come find me over here in this hallway, but sometimes I'm at my other house over here in this hallway. So that's where I'll be, guys.
And it was funny too, because if I be at the Fever House, I'm like, okay, they have a game tomorrow. Okay, like I'm not trying to come in at a certain time. It's like, all right, this is weird. Like, and it's like, you have all your things in the house. And it's like, I had a master bedroom, so it was like super comfortable. And then now it's like, dang, I gotta go to the hotel. And it's like, dang, I miss cooking, stuff like that. And it's like, I just bought all these groceries right before I broke my nose. And now I need to figure out how I can't use them.
That's crazy. It's not funny, but it is funny. I mean, looking back,
it's funny, but at the time I was like, oh God.
Yeah. Gotta appreciate the moments there. So I want to transition into your international play, and talk a bit about like the differences between the Women's EuroLeague and the WNBA, and just some of the things that stick out. I would say like internationally, your roles change because maybe you're asked to be the number one scorer or just the go-to player. Like everything runs through you versus you mentioned on a WNBA roster, you might have two all-stars and it's like, hey, we just need you to rebound, play defense, get some putbacks, whatever. So what's your role or your mindset going into like an international season versus something in the WNBA?
Okay. So for me, like whenever I'm fortunate enough to get like invited to a training camp or I'm in a league or I'm on a team, my whole mentality is just different. But I also think like now that I've done like the whole league stint and then also I've had cuts and stuff like that. Now I'm starting to think, okay, and I've talked to other people, it's like, okay, maybe my mentality needs to shift in the league too. Because now I'm known for, you know, okay, she kills overseas, but when she comes to the league, she don't really do anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dang, I never wanted it to be like that. In my head, I was always thinking like, okay, I'm respecting those in front of me. I know everybody else has a role. I know everybody can score. And I'm just trying to do what it is that I can in the gaps and just like almost blend in, like fill the gaps and do what it is that the team needs. Which is good, but at the same time, it's like I'm not being my true self, or I'm so nervous to try to make a mistake or something that I can do overseas. And it's like over here, I just feel like I have such a short leash, such a short string. Like, and so I'm like, I'm too nervous to make mistakes, but I'm like trying to change myself. So I've always told myself, like, if I ever get to go back to a training camp or if I get to be on a team, like, I want to be more like my overseas self. Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, in a league, you know, everybody can score. My role is different. I'm not there to be the number one scorer. Like, there's all-stars that I've played with and stuff like that. So it's like, I know I'm there to, you know, fill the gaps and stuff like that. And I don't mind that at all. Like, I mean, I like my time in the league. But overseas, yes, I'm signed in order to, you know, be a dominant player, to score the ball, to rebound the ball, and to do just a little bit of everything. And so my game, it just really differs. Like watching my like league play and watching my like Euro League or like Polish League or whatever, anything overseas, it's just like, who is this? Like night and day, two different players. And I'm just like, okay, I really don't want to be like that. Like, I really want to kind of get out of that and try to find like a happy medium, because obviously too, like at this point too, if a team is trying to sign me or showing interest, they're trying to sign me because of how it is that I'm playing over here. So if I get to the crib and I'm too nervous to, you know, play a certain way, then it's like, why did we call you? So I'm trying to like find a happy balance between that, like, and to realize like, you know, I'm not a rookie anymore. So I can't continue to play like a rookie whenever it is I do get to the W. And when I'm overseas too, obviously I'm told to fulfill a certain role. And so I just do whatever it is I can. Like if they need me in the W to get rebounds and set screens, I'm gonna do that. They need me overseas to get rebounds, set screens, score the ball, block shots, and play D, I'm going to do that too. So whatever it is, I'm just trying to figure out a way to, I guess, play my game, but also fit into the system and not be too nervous to shy away from different parts of my games or too nervous to make a mistake. Because at the end of the day, like, that's basketball. We're going to make mistakes. And if I overthink it too much, then I'm going to make a mistake nonetheless.
Right, for sure. So, like you mentioned, overseas, you're being brought over there. Like, hey, we need you to score a lot of points, rebound, things like that. And then a lot of people might not be familiar with some of the different leagues and cups and just like how an overseas season is formatted. So let's say like in Poland, you're playing in your Polish league, kind of like that local league, and then you're playing in Euro League games as well, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so like when you approach those, is there a different role that might come because of what type of league it is? Or, you know, like I know some leagues are like based on points. So it's like, if you're up 20 in the fourth quarter, you're not coming out because we need to keep building this point differential. Like, what are some of the differences that might happen between like a Polish league and a Euro League type of game atmosphere?
See, for my team specifically, I mean, we want to win everything. So we want to win the Euro League and we want to win Polish League. And the only way that like points matter, I mean, any game you're trying to go out there and win by as many points, especially mm-hmm. Euro League, because it's like, okay, if teams end up getting tied, then it's going to be looking at, okay, who beat who, when did they beat them, and by how much did they beat them by? So it's like, you could beat a team by 30, but then if you get blown out by 40, then what does that really do?
Right.
And especially like at the end when, like, let's say you're having a heck of a season and then all of a sudden it's the end of the season and it's like you went on this losing streak. And then now it's like you balanced out and evened out more with everybody. And then now it comes down to breakdown of points. So it's like no matter what, no matter how much you're up, always try to keep going and chipping away. Obviously, coaches are, you know, trying to put in other players that might not get, like, you know, the most playing time. But for the most part, our coaches are like, keep going. Like, don't let up. Like, foot on the gas and we go. And in Polish League, it's the same. Like, we won – my first year we won a championship, and then last year, silver medal last year. And then, so now obviously, you know, trying to get back and trying to get the gold. And it's like no one wants to be, you know, the runner up, the first runner up, especially, you know, because then you're the mm-hmm. first loser. But yep. It's like we want to win, and they expect 100% for us to win Polish League. But they also expect for us to 100% compete in EuroLeague. And I remember last year, you know, we had the team huddle and, you know, a lot of teams, you know, kind of focus in on their league specifically. They want to do really, really well in EuroLeague, but they want 100% win their league. And it's like, that's how it was in Poland. Like at the beginning of the season last year, we had a huddle and they were saying like, oh, you know, like we need to 100% win Polish league. And then, you know, we need to try our best to win as many games as we can in EuroLeague. And I remember, like, a teammate and I just looking at each other, and we're like, I don't really like the way you said that. Like, you know, at the end yeah. of the day, like, obviously, it's going to be hard. We're an underdog, and every EuroLeague game that you win is scrappy. And so it's just like, go out there and compete every single day. I hold them to the same caliber. Obviously, one league is better than the other, but I want to win. Like, I'm my competitive nature mm-hmm. and my competitive spirit. Like, I want to go out there and I want to win every single game. So, to me, I don't care if it's EuroLeague. I don't care if it's Polish League. I want to go out there and win. I'm going to do whatever it is that I can. And that's the way, like, my stats are, too. Like, some people are like, oh, do you care about EuroLeague more? And it's like, I average more points in Polish League, but I average more rebounds in EuroLeague. So, you can't say I care about one more. You right. can just see, and even in my stats, I'm trying to do everything that I can to be as efficient as I can and to do anything for my team to win. That's what I want to win. That's the stat that I want. I'm just trying to win everything.
Trying to win everything. Speaking of okay. winning everything, I think you were a top candidate for the Women's EuroLeague MVP. I mean, you're in that conversation last year. Even so, backwards, you broke your nose at the beginning of the season. Then you went on a freaking rampage in a mask, which was just create this whole like mask Steph character. You're going ham in Poland, obviously. You're going crazy in Euro Leagues, like putting up like video game numbers. December Euro League MVP, just really like on your way. And then you have a nasty fall. Your shoulder just deteriorates. And now you spent the last several months rehabbing, obviously surgery, getting ready, had a couple of hiccups along the way. Talk a little bit about your injury, kind of, you know, you can go into whatever detail you want, your injury, the surgery that you had, and how it's been since, and kind of where you're at now in your recovery.
So, I mean, this injury has been the hardest thing I've ever had to do, like, in my life. It's my first full-blown surgery, like, invasive and all that, the whole nine. And so, like, mentally and physically, it's been tough. Like, I've seen some very dark days. I was really depressed. And I'm still, like, you know, I'm solid right now. I'm pretty okay. I still have, like, you know, like, my hard days and things of that nature. But it's been a very, very long journey. It's been very trying, testing, the timing, the injury itself, the missing basketball, the lack of, you know, being able to play, to train correctly, or to even be able to do your everyday general activities, you know, day-to-day activities. And I mean, when I fell, so I got hurt, I tore my shoulder January 29th, had my surgery February 17th, and I shattered my entire shoulder. Like, basically I tore so many things. And then I partially broke some bone. Fragment. And so it was a really, really nasty injury. And it took a lot, and it's been taking a lot, both mentally and physically, to get back onto the court. I've started practicing with my team and stuff, but I'm not full blown contact and everything yet. But day by day, I'm getting better. It's been shocking to kind of see like how strong I still am. Like, I can still do a lot, can still hold myself. And it's crazy to see, like, you know, like how much I didn't lose. But at the same time, it's just crazy to see how much I did lose. And I mean, it's kind of frustrating, both sad and frustrating. It's tough because, you know, I love to play basketball. I love to compete, and like not being able to do 5-on-5 full strength in practice is just, it's hard on my mind. And I just got here this week, and it's like, okay, we're doing preseason and stuff. And like, I'm going. And they're like, this is the best that you've looked like since you've been in Poland. Like, this is your third year here. Like, you look great. Like, my body looks nice and stuff like that. But it's like, dang, how do you look the best? And it's like, that's the year that you can't play yet. Or it's like, everything here this year is just like, if we could just be healthy, full bone strength, like, I feel like we could do some really special things. And it's like, I want to be able to play with my teammates right now and to be able to build that team chemistry and to be able to rock out this year, and God willing, your league and Polish league. And so it's just really frustrating because it's like, dang, like, why'd it have to be like that? And I've kind of gotten over the fact of like, why? Because it's like, I'm a believer. So I'm trying not to, you know, ask why? Because, you know, I think I do believe that everything happens for a reason. I think like, I've been trying to figure out like why it happened, or, you know, what that reason is. And sometimes, you know, God will show us and God will not. Or sometimes it's going to take time for me to realize. And I think that some of it I've realized, like, you know, why it had to happen. And so I'm really like, you know, somebody ringing my doorbell. Can you hear? anyway, so I'm really happy. Like, you know, I'm not going to say I'm happy like that it happened. I'm not. It's sad, but I'm really happy to see like how much progress I've made, especially mentally. You know, I got a therapist and everything now, so that's been really helpful, and trying to just figure out, you know, like where to go from here. And so right now, I'm practicing, I'm doing 5-on-0, all that stuff, like I'm doing drills and things of that nature, doing full lifts with my team, and I'm doing a whole lot of rehab. We got a new strength coach, and so I'm working with her and stuff like that, and just trying to like get back on the court as quick as I can, and just doing things that I may not have had to do before, and just realizing like, dang, like this injury is going to change like the way I need to go forward. Now I need to, you know, maybe warm up more than I would before. Now I need to do things and get to the gym even earlier than I used to. And so stuff like that. But It's been cool. It's been very trying and very testing, and it takes a lot of patience. And like I said, sometimes I still see better days than others, but I'm just trying to push as much as I can, trying to do whatever it is I can. And I have like a good support system, people that constantly check on me. And then like my team has just been trying to, you know, trying to help me as much as they can. This new strength coach, this new physio and things of that nature, just trying to like help figure out, you know, getting my full range of motion back so I can be on the court faster than what has been said so far. So yeah. We'll see. And yeah, just pray for me.
Yeah. No, it's a lot that goes into it. Like you mentioned, just not even the physical stuff, like all the mental stuff of injuries that's the killer. You know what I mean? So like you mentioned like therapy and support system and stuff like that. That I think is honestly just as important as your PT or your dry needling or your strength coaches and stuff like that. And that's coming from your strength coach. It's like, that stuff is, man, because I've gone through it myself too with just injuries, not only my playing career, but just like, you know, I got in a car wreck 6 months ago and my hip ain't right still. And I'm like, damn, like I don't have any reason to be like feeling like this in my head. Like I don't have to get ready for the Euro League, but I'm still in my head. Like it's a weird thing. And so once you get that and once you master that, then you really can start the process. But then, like you said, everything happens for a reason. So maybe you master this and, you know, during this time you've uncovered things about yourself or uncovered things about training or just what works for you in certain elements. And now you use that to become the best version of yourself. So you can look back at the end of your career and be like, shoot, if it wasn't for that injury, I wouldn't have learned X, Y, and Z. And when I started doing X, Y, and Z, everything started taking off for me. So yeah, it's crazy how life is for sure. Transitioning from that, I want to talk about kind of just one more thing about where your expectations are as far as, you know, I know you've worked super hard to keep your body right. I know you've worked super hard to get your shoulder back to where it is and you're almost there. Like you're like on the home stretch. I can see the finish line. Where are you like mentally in terms of what you want to accomplish this season, not knowing when you're even going to be able to play?
That's a good one. For me right now, like my biggest thing is just trying to get back on the court. Like I can't wait till the day I can do 5-on-5. But I have been shocking myself and doing things that's going to get me step by step there. Like I was shooting last week. I was pretty efficient there at 15 foot. So that was solid. And it was nice to see that because it's like, dang, like I wasn't for sure. Like the first time I'm coming back shooting with the team, how it was going to be. And it takes a little bit to warm up and stuff, but it's even like crazy to see like on Monday I was shooting like this and Saturday I was shooting like this, like just how much better things can get in just a few days, a few hours, few, you know, few stretches, and then you doing something even better. And so for me this year, I just want to hurry up and get back on the court. Whatever it is, like I want to go out there and like I don't want it to be like so much drop off or so much lag from, you know, like my quote unquote old self or like, you know, my normal self. I want to go out there and I don't want it to be like, oh, well, you know, Mavunga just came back from this injury. So that's why it's like that. I don't want that constant, like, oh, well, it's okay. This because of this, it's because of that. Like, I don't want to feel like that. I want to be in a good and comfortable space. Obviously, it's going to be like that sometimes. Like, I'm realistic, but I want it to be like, you know, I can still do things as well as I did them before or try to figure out a way to tailor my game to, you know, the injury that I've had and try to figure out like, how do I change or tweak certain things in order for it to still look or get the same result that I used to have before. And so for me, it's like, I'm trying to get back on the court. I want to be efficient still. And then I want to bring another layer to my game. So now I want to also go the other way or use different movements and just think about it more. Don't use so much power maybe or so much, I don't know, use something to just, you know, like get a step ahead, but like just try to be more smart and try to read the defense more, to try to break down a game more, and just figure out how it is that I can be smarter now that I have the injury and figured out my body even more. And so we'll see. When I play, though, I want to play. I don't want to just be like, oh, okay, I'm trying to make my way back. No, I want to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So one thing I wanted to bring up has nothing to do with basketball, but I know you love to cook. So you've got skills on the court and then obviously great skills off the court in the kitchen doing your – I think I saw something from Ohio State. I was doing like some research. They were calling you Chef Steph. So what – like how did that whole thing come about? Like you just – I know you love to eat too. Like you and I are foodies. So obviously that is what we do and that's what we bond on. So what did, you know, how did your whole like culinary experience come to life?
So that was just random, honestly. Like I was just in college, like, oh, you know, college kids, they always want to eat the same things over and over. Yep. They go find the cheapest, easiest way to just find some food after. And it was like, that got tiring and boring to me. And then also, it was like, for me, like, I wanted to learn how to, like, feed myself better, to fuel myself better. Also, because, like, the way I wanted to play. So I wanted to, you know, lose weight. And so I kind of wanted to, like, figure out how it is I could help myself. And then it was also a hobby, because after I transferred, it was like, you know, I was just like more serious in terms of that. And then also it's just like, after a while, it's like, you don't want to just go out and hang out with people all the time. It's like, you want to figure out like, you know, what else do I like? I want a hobby. You know, you play basketball 24/7 and you go to school 24/7 and it's like school, basketball 24/7. It's like, what else? What else is to you? And then I just started cooking like that. And then it started, you know, kind of like, oh God, tasting my food. I'm like, this kind of fire. Hold on now, this kind of fire. And then it's like, you know, you start bragging or whatever. You start thinking like, okay, hold up, maybe I'm just, you know, feeling myself. So, you know, you give it to somebody else. And then, you know, next thing you know, it's like athletes, they don't like to cook for real. Like they're lazy, they're tired, have to practice. Like, because, you know, we spend so much like energy in our sport. And then also you got academic layers. So it started my freshman year. I was cooking for my roommates, Leash and Diamond and Jess. And then my second year, it was me, Leash, and Jamie. And like, I was just always cooking for them. Then it turned into, oh, football players like, man, I heard you can cook. Then it turned into men's basketball. I heard you can cook. Then, you know, all my friends. And then next thing you know, it's just like, I'm cooking. Or it's like, okay, I'm going to buy the groceries. Can you just cook? And then we just like, blah, blah, blah. And then next thing it was, okay, it turned into, okay, now I want to make plates. I was making plates. I was trapping out the house. I was you know, making plates of food, you know, selling them and stuff like that. And I was like, dang, it really got real. I was cooking for pro athletes at one point. Like 2 summers ago, I was just way in over my head. Next thing I know, like my name is really traveling. I'm cooking for doctors at Eli Lilly, like doing all kinds of things. And I'm like, how did you even hear about me? And it's just like word of mouth really goes a long way. And so after that, it was just like, yo, I could really do this. Like I just, and then after a while, it just got so overwhelming because it's just me. And then, so now I'm trying to figure out like how to balance everything, trying to figure out how to, okay, I can cook, I can make plates, but it's like, okay, how do I change that? And how do I make it bigger? Who do I trust enough to help me with this and to help, you know, share this recipe? Because also it's like, for me, it's eyeball test. I'm African. I don't do that whole, I'm not. It's eyeball everything. You know how it be. So it's just like, okay, like this is really my hobby. This is my passion. Like I really enjoy eating. I really enjoy cooking, the whole nine. So, yep, that's how I started. And then Chef and Steph rhymed, so it was just fitting.
Amazing. Amazing. So obviously you've played around the world. You know, you've traveled cities in the WNBA. You've traveled countries with your overseas career. What are some foods that, or some styles of food even, that like have really stood out to you over the years?
A lot. I think I take something from every like little place that I go to. If I taste something and I like it, I'm like, okay, how can I mimic that but add my own twist? Or how can I mimic that and add my own little flavor to it? So I like, I like Indian Mediterranean spices. I like that a lot. And then I like the freshness of just overseas in general, like the freshness.
Oh God. Yeah.
The quality of ingredients. I love, Italian, how it's so simple and yet so flavorful, and how like you can just combine like little things. And I even took a cooking class in Italy, in April. And I just really like different, like everything has their own, like you little unique, you know, twist on their, you know, their food. So it's nice. And then also I'm African by birth. And so it's like using that too and seeing like, you know, how I can combine all the different flavors and the different cultures and all that and bring it all together. So that's like my favorite thing too, is because, you know, everyone, for example, loves salmon. But my friends are always like, what is so special about your salmon? But it's like, you guys keep going to Walmart and going to get all the same spices, so all y'all salmon is going to taste the same. But if you're using spice or something different from every different culture, and you're trying to figure out how you can put a certain number of ingredients into one thing and bring it all out, that's how I
So this is a random question, but like from being from Zimbabwe, actually, you know, I don't know anything about like the culinary culture of Africa. Mm-hmm. Like what is that food like? What is some of the things that are going to be present in that experience?
So for us in Zimbabwe, our main dish is what's called saza. And it's like, if a lot of Nigerian people eat it too, but it's called fufu in Nigeria. It's this like white cornmeal thick that you like pick up with your hands. And usually, you know, kind of flatten it out, pick up some vegetables, some greens, and like you make it with a beef stew. And so for us, we really love saza. You make it with like collard greens, spinach, whatever. And then we have like, you know, like okra too, like slimy okra, not like the fried okra, like slimy okra, blah, blah, blah. Not my thing. But saza, I can get down with. Saza with some greens, some oxtail, some beef stew.
Fire.
That's
fire. It's just an edible, it's like an edible spoon. It's like you just taking the stuff and grabbing it, and that's optimal in my eyes. That's the right way. Like
easier cleanup, like that.
Yeah.
So like we heavy on that. Saza, and then we have like nemabonzo, which is like soup bones. So saza nemabonzo is like saza with like soup bones, like beef, like fall off the bone meat, like keep it real tender.
I love it. All right, so last little thing here, and then I'm gonna let you get out of here. We got to put you on the hot seat, which is just some random Q&A rapid fire, so you can just shoot out the first thing that comes to your mind for each of these.
Okay, all right.
What's your all-time favorite movie?
Oh, Coach Carter.
Nice. Do you have any hidden talents?
Well, cooking, not so hidden. I don't have anything else hidden. That's all I can think of right now.
Start one, bench one, cut one. Pancakes, waffles, French toast.
Oh, easy. You said start, bench. Okay, cut pancakes. Yes, my order is literally French toast, waffles, and pancakes. So cut pancakes. Waffles, bench, and start French toast every trip.
Interesting. French toast, that tells me that you've had good French toast. World-class French toast.
Crazy French toast. Like, pancakes just are so mid to me. They don't do it for me.
And pancakes are by far the laziest of those three.
Yeah, it's like...
There's no art, and you just... It's literally a... pan and you just flip it, you know what I mean? There's no artistry. Literally, so I get that.
So I cut.
I will say I do love pancakes though, but I appreciate the answer. I need an unpopular food opinion.
Like that I think is good or I think is nasty. Okay, pineapples don't go on pizza.
Okay. I agree. Not my thing.
I got another one. Oh my goodness. You know what I hate? Sugar does not go on spaghetti. I hate that too.
No. Skyline chili is, it's not for me. Is that what you're referring to?
Hello? Hello?
All right. Yeah, you're back. Okay. You're back.
Yeah, Skyline don't do it for me. Oh, yeah, that's another one. Raising Cane's is very overrated.
Ooh, that's Ohio. That's an Ohio State staple, too. Yeah, when I went to visit my boys at Ohio State, this was like 2010. Oh, you got to go to Cane's with us. You got to go to Cane's. So I don't remember. It was so long ago. I don't remember, but I haven't been back since. So that tells you what you need to know. I was going to
say, that tells you everything you need to know. If it was five, you would remember.
Facts. All right. So what's an unpopular basketball opinion?
Ooh. About just anything in general?
Yeah.
Ooh, you got some good hot seat questions. I can't even think. I don't know.
Got her. Boom.
Nah, because I don't believe that. Yeah, oh, you might got me. I'm going to have to come back to that one.
Bet. All right, so if you could build, I'm trying to explain this in the easiest way. If you could build the perfect women's basketball player, taking components of other players. So we'll say shooting, passing, ball handling, mindset, defense, and body or like frame. Like build the perfect player.
Okay. So I would say Breonna Stewart's build. Chelsea Gray's passing, court vision. Sylvia Fowles post up. Dominant inside interior game. Enrique's
bag. Just bag.
Yeah, just bag. I can't even figure out what I'm gonna get. Enrique's bag.
Yeah.
Enrique. And Banaja Laney's defense.
That's a terrifying player to go against.
Lyle.
Yes. All right. What's your biggest pet peeve? Just like general things, just annoying things that you hate.
I don't like even numbers. I know that's crazy, but like I've never liked them. I don't know why. It's been like that my whole entire life. Like even numbers are not my thing. I know it's crazy, but the crazy thing is also I'm wearing number 4 this season, but I will explain that in a later date.
I bet.
I hate two more. Like,
go ahead.
I hate it when it grinds my gears when people don't capitalize the G in God or the H in him when speaking, referring to God. Hate it. Like it's God. Yeah.
You gotta literally put some respect on his name.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. You know what? I think I get this question all the time. I guess to go off of the God thing too, I don't like it when people are putting his name in vain. I know a lot of people do that, like, oh, my G-O-D, like, I don't do that. Never have, not my thing. But the pet peeve, yes, I would say, like, the capital G, capital him, H, even numbers, and I would say, smacking.
Yeah. Especially while eating.
Yes, especially while eating, or, like, chomping on gum, like.
Yeah, that makes me like queasy. Like, it makes me feel weird.
It makes me just want to look at you like you for real.
There's other people that exist around you, like, respect their space. Yeah.
And I feel like every single time, like, something comes up, it's like, dang, like, that's my biggest pet peeve. And it's like, every time I get asked the question, I'm on the spot and I'm like, I couldn't think of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a common one. All right, a couple more here. Last two. I want you to build your Mount Rushmore of women's basketball players. So four names all time. Top four.
That one's
hard. And I'll preface this. I'll protect you by saying this is your Mount Rushmore. This is not the top four of all time, so I'm going to keep you out of trouble there. This is just your favorite. Your
favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So my favorite play. Okay, that's much better. Okay, cool. Sylvia Fowles.
Okay.
And this is going off of, like, players as games or what?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So Sylvia Fowles. Sue Bird. DT. And Cheryl Swoop / Becky Hammond.
I like that. Put them both on there. I like that.
Yeah.
Solid. Last thing right here. Worst financial decision you've ever made. I know you got some.
I'm trying to think. I really don't have any that I'm like, ah. I don't have one. I could be like, okay, like, that was worth it. Let me think. Okay, yes. Okay, I have one. I think I spent $800 or something on luggage. One of my early years pro, I spent about $800 coming back home because I didn't want to leave things. I couldn't part with things.
Oh, so like paying for your luggage.
Yes.
Ooh.
Like,
that's.
Yeah, that's okay, a lot.
That's,
and it's not like it's like my craziest purchase ever, but like. Yeah, I would say that because it's just like, all right, like you could really part ways with that. Like you didn't even really need that. Some of that stuff, I don't even think I even look at anymore. So it's just like, you really did that?
Yeah. Okay, that's actually not too bad. That's actually semi-responsible. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. Because like, I mean, like my clothes and my purses, I'll keep those.
That's like what I was really like, hoping for.
Nah, because I would keep those. I mean, I could say like, there's like two purses. I'm just kind of like, okay, like, did you just buy them because you were just like in the mood? You just walked in like, I got it.
All right. Yeah. I got it.
Like, all right, I know an outfit that could go with that. Like one outfit.
Stuff, one
like,
time.
Yeah, there's like a purse or two, like maybe two that I'm just like, okay, I feel like I just bought them. But it's like, I didn't really like think about like me.
Yeah, like, I like that.
Yeah, so
hey, I was you gotta treat yourself every now and then. I like to ask this question, especially with pros, because sometimes you get some wild answers, like some obnoxiously expensive items that people don't use or don't even have any interest in, just because it's like, oh yeah, I overnight like just got a huge amount of money that I'm not used to having. Like, let's go have some fun with it just for one day, see what we can get.
Nice. Yeah. I feel like, that's true too. I feel like I don't have anything too crazy. Like all my big purchases, like my biggest purchases, like I love my purchases. Like I love my house. I love
house, car, around. Yeah, house, necessities.
The car, like, yeah, so yeah.
Well, you still got a lot of basketball and money to make. So, you know, feel free. We could do a round two and maybe you'll have like a Lambo or something by then.
I hope not.
That would be.
That's gonna be reckless spending. That will be the one that I will say at the end.
Yeah.
Don't even ask the question. Just tell me that the Lambo is in.
I got you. Well, that's all I got for you today. I appreciate you jumping on here. Before I let you get out of here, if you want to like drop your social media or anything upcoming that you want people to know about, if the plates are coming back, we need to know about that. But yeah, let us know where we can find you.
So my Instagram and my Twitter handle is the same. It's smavunga_23. So SMAVUNGA_23. And my cooking Instagram is @_ No, is it just one underscore? Good question. Now I need to double check because that's crazy. Why don't I know that? But it's @KupisaKitchen and it's one underscore @ KupisaKitchen. And that's my cooking Instagram. And if I come back and cook and do all that, that's going to definitely be on there. And it's going to be on my Instagram too, and probably on my Twitter too. So those are my two social media platforms. I don't use Facebook much, but my Facebook is just my name, Stephanie Mavunga. And yeah, so that's really it. What's coming up? Nothing too crazy. Hopefully my comeback. So pray for that.
Yeah, need that. Appreciate you, Steph.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed that episode. It was great to catch up with Steph and really get to know more about her journey and some of the behind the scenes things that have gone on in your career. If you guys are new here, thank you so much for listening. I would encourage you to go back in previous episodes and kind of, you know, look around, take a look at some of the guests we've had. We've had tons of episodes packed with great info, whether you're athlete, coach, parent, whatever it is in the basketball community, we have something for you. If you are a repeat listener or a returning customer, if you will, appreciate you guys for your continued support. Please continue to spread the word, like, share, comment, do all that great stuff on the internet so we can start to grow the show even more, have even more great guests on, and just deliver more value to you guys. So once again, appreciate y'all for tuning in. I'll catch y'all next week with another special guest.